Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Geo on The Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Thursday morning. Another annoying Mets loss. This is now three in a row, two down in Atlanta, and you feel different about this group after a couple of games, at least I do, down in Atlanta than you did a few days ago.
Here we go.
You can't not. I'm sorry, man. This is all the magic that you had in the National Series. It hasn't happened so far in this Braves series. Doesn't mean they're out of it. Of course not. They're in the thick of it still, but doesn't feel as magical as it did a few days ago. And Mickey Callaway puts himself in a situation where he is open for criticism. And I have to say to Mickey Callaway, I agree with what you did. I agree with what you did taking Steven Matz out when you did. Now, did I like the fact that he hit for himself and then he was taken out? No. But with the combination of the inning before, where it was three hard hit balls, the fact that he had all the righties coming up, he did run the bases, and Lugo with the lead, who has been phenomenal for the Mets this year, I didn't have a problem with it. And guess what? Seth Lugo finally spit up on himself. It's going to happen to all the relievers. So, salvage it today, for crying out loud. Salvage it with Marcus Stroman. This is why you got the guy. Big one down there. Do not get swept in Atlanta. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know, I'm doing all right and a little down because of that performance last night. But I'm right with you, bro. I don't want to hear anybody calling in here and saying, they should have left Steven Matz in. He only threw 79 pitches. I mean, if you weren't watching that game last night, I just kind of felt like Steven Matz was just hanging on and hanging on and hanging on. And I know he only throws 79 pitches because they were swinging at him.
Sure.
And they were hitting him hard.
Yep.
And Donaldson was coming up. So any person that calls in this morning,
there's going to be plenty of them.
Listen, I don't care. I don't want to hear it.
Yep.
You know, he was protecting Matz. He was trying to protect his team. He wanted to win, and he basically shot his gun immediately, and he put Lugo in a high leverage situation, and Lugo pooped the bed. Although he wasn't even hit that hard, it was just. You know, it was the walk. Mm-hmm. He basically did not want to give Donaldson anything to hit, and he walks him. And the next thing, the whole thing kind of unravels on Seth Lugo, and he's been great for us. So I'm not, I swear to God, and I even said this out in the bullpen this morning when I came in here. I said, if I hear anybody in here talking about how they should have left Steven Matz in after only throwing 79 pitches, you morons are not watching a game.
yeah,
you are not watching a game.
There's going to be plenty of people calling in this morning that you can call morons.
And on top of all of that, you don't know who the pitcher on the mound is.
Right, Steven Matz, the fact that he gave you last night was great.
That's not Jacob deGrom. That's not Noah Syndergaard. That's not Zach Wheeler. And that's not Marcus Stroman. This is like when he pitches at home, he's a little bit different of a pitcher. There's no question about it. Maybe he gets a little bit more luck. Maybe he gets a couple calls that he would not get on the road. But last night, you know, I just sitting there went, I'm like, oh my God, there was a second inning. I'm thinking, is he going to get out of this?
Yeah, right.
You know, and luckily he did. And really the difference between these two teams, and I hate to say it, even though the Braves at the end of the game almost blew the game because of mistakes and, you know, a key error that loaded the bases. But, you know, if you don't have your guys, Conforto and Alonso, raking the ball like they were in the midst of that 15 out of 17, you're going to have the Met team that we saw last night. And quite frankly, they got Ruben Tejada at second base. You know, they can't even turn a basic double play. And Ronnie was talking about it last night. You know, those are the plays that you have to make against the good teams. And I don't think it's Ruben Tejada's fault. It was more Rosario's fault, where he throws the ball behind him a little bit, and you know, Ruben's just trying to make a play. But the point being is that, you know, they cut Echevarria because they didn't want to give him $1 million.
Right, and he was good defensively and offensively.
Yeah, well, they cut him because they didn't want to give him $1 million. Right. You know, so that bothers me. But I'm not going to sit here. Look, I know, I knew and I felt this way that, you know, Sunday's game with Jacob deGrom was important to win. They needed to win that game at home. They needed to sweep the Nationals. To me, that was the key game. Because going to Atlanta was not going to be – it's never easy for the Mets down there. And why to think that it's going to be any easier now is beyond me. So I think your take on most of it is right. And today with Stroman, this is why you trade for him, because you got to win this game today. You have to win this game today. And I know, like, look, all those people that called in yesterday, like, ah, your Mets are going down. You know, I'm not giving up on this team.
No, you can't at this point. So really, I mean, I look at what happened the last 2 days. You kind of separate a little bit from Sunday, because Sunday was a part of that homestand and it was still, what, a 6-1 homestand, for crying out loud. And then they went on this trip for six games before they come back home to play the Indians. So far, yeah, you're 0-2 on the road trip. But if you salvage the game tonight, which is so damn important, and then you do some damage against a terrible team in the Kansas City Royals, and the Mets have been beaten up on bad teams, and they should be able to do that again, regardless if it's in Kansas City or not, then you're all right. And you could still come back 3-3, 4-2, if things work out well for you. So, I mean, I really, now's not the time to give up, for sure. However, there's no doubt that the way things were going at home Friday, Saturday for the Mets, it just feels different. Couldn't get the big hit in the ninth inning when they were given a break and the bases are loaded and you have a couple of strikeouts. Jerry Blevins comes in, strikes out Michael Conforto for the fourth time last night. I mean, it just... You know, when
but these are the spots where Conforto and Alonso, if they're going to go over, it's going to cost the team. And it's from the offensive standpoint. The defensive standpoint, you know, I don't know what to say about that. I mean, I think they're okay. But the lack of being able to turn a double play, you know, in a second inning, that kind of hurts. It just kind of shows you that, you know, they're not there yet. They're a young team, and they're going to go through this, and right now they won from the highest of highs, ripping Conforto's shirt off, to going 0-4 and striking out with the bases loaded in the top of the ninth.
Basically,
I don't know what else to tell you.
Right, but winning tonight and then facing another bad team for three, I mean, you're right there.
You're right back into it.
You're right there. And I know it's everybody's going to be scoreboard watching. They're going to be watching the Phillies winning. They're going to be watching the Nationals winning. I mean, right. I get it. You're still within striking distance where you weren't a few weeks ago. And the fact that you've got one more game against Atlanta and then three against a bad team, then you're back at Citi Field where you've been really, really good for the first time in a long time. All those things are still positive. But there's also these holes that you feel on this team now with some injuries too. And Jeff McNeil, all right, guys on the IL for hopefully only 10 days, mild hamstring strain. But that's a killer. I mean, that is an absolute killer. The lineup gets exponentially worse when he's not in it. And then when you have guys like Altair, Tejada, and Guillorme who are getting this significant playing time, it's not like Tachman, Urshela, and Cameron Maybin who somehow turn into all-stars with the Yankees when they get their opportunities. It's just not that way. Now, Guillorme got another hit last night. He had a big home run. It might have been the greatest moment of his life when he hit that home run. But I mean, the fact of the matter is that these guys are bit players that probably shouldn't be in the major leagues for an extended period of time, and now they're thrown into these situations with the Mets in the highest leverage situation of the
season. That's right. All right, let's go to Nikki and see for Nikki. What do you want?
Good morning, guys.
Yeah.
I usually agree with a lot of what you guys say, especially with the Mets. I respectfully disagree, and here's why. If you're going to take Mats out, why is he batting?
And what did he do when he batted?
He got a hit.
All right. Well, there you go. You know why? You know why? I'll tell you why. Because he's a better hitter than the guy sitting on the bench. That's why.
Yeah, well, there is that.
Okay. All right. So he lets him hit. Why are we coddling? You're the first one to say we coddle these guys too much, and you're like, he's trying to protect Matt. Why are we protecting Matt? So what? They hit the ball hard. Maybe it was his night that he had... You know, he had a lot of Adam balls.
Nikki, I love you, man. I don't agree with it. I agree with taking him out of the game. I even said this yesterday. I said, man, I'm going into this game with Mats. He needs to give us a good performance. He's not been great on the road. You know, he wasn't great in his last outing. And look, they know that. They see that. They're with him every day. So they're trying to help him every which way they can. So they get the lead. He actually gets a hit in the top of the seventh.
Right.
That's why. What did I tell you yesterday? I don't know if I said it on the air or off the air. I'm saying, like, why did they send up Altair up there as a pitcher?
Right. No, I know.
I think I said
Jacob DeGrom or something.
Put Jacob DeGrom up there when he's not pitching.
Yeah,
he's a better hitter than all these guys.
And Steven Matz gave you six great innings, and Mickey Callaway.
I don't know about great innings.
Well,
he did
for him. Yes, he did. Down in Atlanta, right. He was getting hit in the last. Listen, I saw that inning as well, and that's why it was part of my point, where he had the top of the order. He had Acuna, Albies. They would smoke the ball. Freddie Freeman smoke the ball in the sixth inning. I saw it all. However, I'm not going to say he didn't give you six great innings. He did. Down in Atlanta, in that situation, pressure on him, he gave you six great innings. And that's what you wanted. That's what you asked for. And then Mickey Callaway goes to the guy who he has relied on more than anybody this year in the bullpen,
to
come in and get the victory, give you probably two innings, and God knows what he would have done after that. Maybe he might have pitched him three, for crying out loud.
You know, Matz gets on base, you know, and he's running and he's out there. That's the other aspect of it all. Who knows what that impact is?
Hey, he said he was fine afterwards. I don't know.
Of course he's going to say that. Of course he's going to act as if, you know, he wanted to stay in there, because that's what he should be saying.
Right.
Mickey did the right thing, man. I don't care what anybody says. Watching that game, knowing the pitcher involved, and knowing the situation, and knowing who the reliever is coming in, Mickey did the right thing.
Right,
man.
It's not a pitch count thing. Like, people want to say, oh, it's a pitch count. It's just so funny to me how
it's a third time around, you know, in the lineup too, by the way.
Right, and then how everybody hates the pitch count stuff until it comes up in a situation like this to support their argument. Well, he only had 78 something pitches. Like, it doesn't matter. Mickey Callaway isn't worried about Steven Matz's pitch count. He's worried about winning the friggin' game. And what he saw in that situation was, wow, we probably got everything we could have possibly gotten out of Steven Matz tonight. And now I'm going to go to a great reliever in Seth Lugo in a critical game.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, it's 100 degrees down there.
Right.
That's the other thing. He's on the base. He's got two hits last night. I mean,
he didn't go to Familia. He didn't go to Diaz. He didn't go to Gazelman.
He was probably going
to go. He went to his best reliever in the seventh.
I bet you he was probably going to go. I would assume if everything worked out right, he would have went to Lugo for two innings.
Yeah, right.
And then comes the interesting decision. Maybe because I was thinking that if Lugo would have went two, who was he going to go to? I thought if they would have gotten to the bottom of the ninth, I swear to God, I think it was going to be Familia.
Well, maybe. I mean, with Familia's last appearance was really, really good.
And his appearance last night was okay.
Yeah, I mean, I really do think that if Lugo had gotten through two innings crisply, as Aaron Boone likes to say, but if he got through it crisply, then he might have pitched a third. I'm serious. They might have sent him out.
I don't think so.
He might have. So. I mean, that's who we trust the most.
And
but
the reason I say that is because you may need him again today.
Oh, God,
that's
imagine.
The problem.
But that, yeah, right. No, I understand. But now all of a sudden, and he doesn't really pitch back-to-back nights. He's, you know, he's not as durable as you'd like Seth Lugo. But if he would have gone to Diaz and Diaz blew that save, that would have been a mess as well. If he would have gone to Familia instead of Lugo in the seventh, you would have been pissed off about that. I don't know. I mean, I didn't have a problem with it. Probably wanted to pitch two innings. He couldn't even get two outs. I mean, he was that bad.
So can I ask you a question?
Yes.
So if you got pulled over and cops had guns pulled out and pointed at you.
Sure.
What would you say? Like, and this all is going to be caught on video, by the way.
I would not. And I know where you're going with this, because the Brian Cashman video was released of him with the guns drawn, screaming, get out of the car, walk backwards towards me. I watched it this morning. You know, I wouldn't say anything unless I was asked a direct question. And then when I was asked a direct question, I would answer it truthfully. That's what I would do.
Well,
I'm innocent, like Brian Cashman was innocent.
Well, yeah,
of course.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So if you're in the same I would have kind of done the same thing. I was like, hey, man, I'm Boomer and Geo, guys. Remember me?
Yeah. No, I mean, I would wait for them to ask for my ID or whatever.
That is an amazing story, though, that they found his Jeep and the NYPD didn't clear it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I guess. And also on top of that, which made it crazier, is someone in a similar Jeep had just robbed the doctor's office or something in Darien, Connecticut.
That's
so they were
crazy
also
how it's
looking
all tied together.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. It's nuts. I know. I mean, that video is out there. I recommend you watch it. And it is funny as one of the cops goes to Brian Cashman, you look really familiar. And he goes, yeah, I'm the general manager of the New York Yankees. He's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I used to go in the same bagel place as you.
Westchester. Yeah, now they start talking, hey, you got some tickets?
Get out of the car! Towards me! Shut up!
To Brian Cashman's credit, he basically said everybody was professional. They were doing their job. They did the right thing.
And
100%.
And so did he. I mean, he knew
it's an unfortunate situation. Thankfully, nothing happened there.
Right. No, nothing did happen.
But, you know, the what does happen is that the Yankees just keep scoring runs and just keep beating the Baltimore Orioles. Thankfully, that series is over.
Yeah, I know. 17-2. I've never seen something as bad as this. I cannot stand Yankees Orioles. I mean, last night in our softball game, it felt like Yankees Orioles. We got such a big lead, or you guys got such a big lead up on that Paramus team. I mean, it's just, it was. It was like mercy rule last night. Like, if they had any more games left, I would have think that Major League Baseball would have had to step in and say, we're not going to play these games.
Oh, I thought you were talking about
our softball game. No, well, that too. But, I mean, like, with the Yankees and the Orioles, if there were any more games left on the schedule, Rob Manfred would have had to step in and say, we're not playing these games. It's too embarrassing for everybody. Just give the Yankees the win.
Well, at least they made a game of it yesterday.
Yeah, sure. And there was only one home run. I did predict Gary Sanchez is one of the four home runs that I thought would happen. It was only one home run, and it was Gary Sanchez, and Jay Happ was okay. So as Sessa comes in, was not good, as he's been a little bit of an Achilles heel.
What did Gleyber Torres do this year against the Orioles?
I mean, it's 13 home runs, right?
Yep.
13 home runs, almost hit 400, 20 RBI. I mean, the guy, it's
and he scored
all-time.
22 runs.
All-time stuff, like Lou Gehrig, like some of these other, I mean, Gleyber Torres against the Orioles, it's, I think, the second best season anybody has ever had in the history of baseball against any one opponent.
So it's not just a modern era.
No.
It's the whole history
of baseball.
Right.
So that's what has gone on. That's how good the Yankees have been, and that's how bad the Orioles have been.
All right, so now the Indians come in for, you know, basically what is a week-long series here in New York.
Right,
four with the Yankees and three with the Mets.
It's the Chernoff series.
That's right.
Yes, this is where Mark Chernoff gets an extended time with the family, as his son Mikey is in town, not only for his team to take on the Yankees, but then the Mets back-to-back.
So Mark had a little show and tell with me this morning.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he walked in and he had two gloves and two baseballs, and he goes, I'm going to go have a catch with my son Mikey today.
Oh, he's going to do that.
And I'm like, why do you have two gloves? Because he doesn't have a glove. I'm saying, he's a general manager of a freaking Major League Baseball team.
Yeah, just grab one of their gloves, for crying out
loud. I mean, grab anybody's glove.
Yeah.
I mean, you're the guy that's signing the contracts. I'm sure everybody loves you.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I don't think he's got a Gettleman reputation.
And why does he have to have the balls? Why can't Mikey have the balls?
Well, it's because, you know, he's been the guy who's had the balls for a long time. So.
But isn't it something about, like you're the GM of a Major League Baseball team. Like, you can take as many balls as you want.
Yeah, of course.
You could have a bat, too. Have gloves. A bat, balls, whatever.
You could bring a player with him if you wanted to throw with his dad instead of him actually throwing.
Yeah, I'm bringing a Corey Kluber. He's working through some things. Yeah. I'm going to go out, have a catch with Corey.
Sure. But this is a thing that Mark has done since they were kids.
It's a big deal. He has to have a catch with his son. I know that. That's their thing. And, right. I love that. That's great. It's like I take Gunnar to war pictures. And he has a catch with his son. That's wonderful, right?
Right, it is.
So, you know, the whole thing, though, bringing in a glove, two gloves.
And he's proud. He's showing it to you.
Now, I will have to say that not everything went totally perfect at our softball game yesterday in Paramus. First of all, thank you to the folks at Paramus for allowing us to be a part of what I think is a very close-knit community trying to come together around a tragedy of just unimaginable consequences. So we say thank you to them for that. Not everything went smoothly for us either. You know, we had a second baseman who ran out to second base without her glove.
Mm.
We have a catcher who leaves his glove behind and leaves the building. We have our director, Steven, who leaves his notebook behind.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, it was just... It's like, what is wrong with these people?
Yeah, we had a pitcher who not once but twice was about a minute and a half late getting out to the mound.
Oh, because I was signing autographs and taking pictures. And
what do you tell
babies.
Us? Sign autographs
by the way,
after the
game.
I
will say this. This ambassador role for you is working really well.
I told you.
And whatever you said to me when you came out to the mound, mm-hmm. when they were in the midst of a rally in the bottom of the seventh inning,
mm-hmm.
it worked.
Yeah, no, I know.
I don't even know what you said to me, but whatever it was, it worked.
Right, and I gave you a little pat on the fanny, and then you got the next out.
Out. Boom, done.
Right, they scored like five straight runs, and then my little pep talk got us out of the game. So it was great. I told you, man, we always talk about, this is it right here on CBS Sports Network, as I did the old cover up the mouth so people don't know what I'm saying.
Right.
And then right after this, I mean, it was basically like the next pitch.
Yes.
I mean, we won the game. So right.
I love that. I love you. Pat me on the ass like that, and you just look like you're in charge.
Well, yeah, this is, we always talk about self-awareness.
Yes.
Right? And what we're good at, what we're not good at. And this is something I take pride in.
Now, there is one other thing that I saw you doing last night, and I think it's kind of cute.
Yeah.
And I'm not making fun of you. Please don't think I'm making fun of you because
you never do
that. Because it involves your beautiful little daughter, Sabrina.
Right.
So you came in yesterday and you were so proud of Sabrina watching us on TV.
Yep.
And she was going, dad.
She was.
Dad. And you had to show me the video of that.
I did show you that video.
How many times did you show that video to moms with babies last night?
Oh, there were several, yes.
Yeah, how many times?
I mean, I'd say 4 or 5. Yeah.
At least 4 or 5.
Yeah, 4 or 5. Yeah.
You're like a mom's liaison for us.
Well, so there were parents. It was moms and dads.
Hey, look at my baby. Look what my baby does.
They brought their babies over and they started asking, because they're listeners, they started asking about Sabrina, how's she doing? And then I said, well, this just happened today where she recognized me on TV, so I showed them the video.
That.
And they loved it.
Yeah, it was
they
great.
Loved it. They seemed to like it.
But I'm just saying, like, that's the kind of involvement that I think that you're good at.
Yeah, right.
And you know, it's like, oh, there's Gio. Look, he's so cute.
Well, that's what I do. That's what I do as an ambassador. I mean, listen, I know what to do as an ambassador.
Right.
This is one of those things, like, I don't tell you how to play quarterback. You don't tell me how to be an ambassador. Mm-hmm. I think I know. I'm doing all the things I need. I went over before the game. I met everybody on the other team.
You got our grounds rules.
Yeah, I did do that. Yep, absolutely.
Look at you. You're in charge. Look at you. You kind of look like Mickey Cowell with that beard, too. You're like, nice trimmed up and everything.
Yeah,
all you need is the blue sunglasses.
Yeah, I know. It's he does that Just for Men stuff. I haven't gone to that quite yet. But I will eventually with all this gray that's in the beard. But, yeah, no, I felt good. Here's me and Eddie hanging out by the fence, and I was on the microphone with some insults.
Eddie may have had his best game yesterday.
He did. He absolutely had his best game.
2 for 3, 3 for 4. What were you?
2 for 4.
2 for 4.
Yeah, it was pretty good. But those guys were great. I mean, that Paramus rec team was awesome, and those guys couldn't have been nicer. And the field was a beautiful field there in Paramus. So we had a great time, and it was a big victory for the team, without a doubt.
Doing well.
18-7, 18-8 or something like that. It was like 18-2.
Right.
But
well, it would have stayed 18-2 had we not had a few errors in the last inning.
He did give up a home run, too.
Well, guys miss playing balls and stuff. What do you want me to do?
He gave up a bomb. That guy hit a bomb off you in the 7th.
And another bomb that was called back.
Oh, yeah, there was one of those.
Well, wait a minute. Time out. So you told me the ground rules.
I did tell you the ground rules.
And the one thing that I heard that I had never heard before.
A legal pitch.
And I'm sure that other, you know, softball leagues actually play this rule.
Mm-hmm.
Is what?
The illegal pitch.
And what is the illegal pitch?
Illegal pitch is if it's like the umpires told me if it's like 8 feet up in the air.
Right.
Or higher, that no matter what happens with that pitch, if you hit a home run, it's just a ball. So
right.
Don't bother swinging anything that high.
So we have what I think is their best player up, and we have 2 men on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm illegal pitching my ass off because I'm going to put him on base.
Yeah.
Because I don't want him hitting a home run.
Right.
And I think he recognizes that I'm doing that to him.
Mm-hmm.
So he tomahawks one, of course.
Yep.
But the umpire immediately calls, illegal pitch, but nobody can hear it because the damn music's playing.
Yeah, it was very loud.
And they're all running around the bases, and everybody's high-fiving. And I'm like, I'm just standing there going, that's not a home run. It's an illegal pitch.
Look at you.
I mean, this is what you told me before the game.
I did tell you, and you used it to your advantage.
Right, and then I had a really illegal pitch him onto, first base, and then I got the next guy out.
Folks, the score at that point was 17-0.
Right.
WFAN.
Well, look, I mean,
let
think
it
that
go.
They would appreciate, and then of course, Joe Guerrero, right? Joe knows fish.
Mm-hmm, yep.
He's our catcher.
Yep.
And he's telling the umpire, that really wasn't 8 feet. It was more like 6. I'm like, what are you telling him that for?
Because we wanted to give him some runs at that point.
What do you mean? Nobody wants anything given. They want to earn it.
The guy hit a home run. Crying out loud.
He did not hit a home run. He hit an illegal pitch, which is illegal. That's why they called it an illegal pitch. Why do we when they say illegal, they mean freaking illegal.
It was 17-0 in a charity softball game.
That when they say illegal pitch, it means illegal.
Well, Boomer, then why are you throwing it if it's illegal? If you know it's illegal.
Because I was trying to walk them.
Yeah, but you shouldn't intentionally throw something illegal. I'm a little disappointed in you.
Right. Should have been you.
that in that Brian Cashman situation.
I didn't want
situation.
Him swinging at the ball. That's why. That's
so
why
you
I
went to illegal measures. That's not like you.
I was playing within the rules. It was a loophole in a rule. I was playing within the rules. Just because that guy tomahawked it, it's not my fault. And then my catcher is turning around the umpire. You know, that wasn't really 8 feet. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Well, he sponsored the uniform, so we have to let everything go with Joe G, right? He can do whatever he wants. And then you're yelling at me to announce on the microphone that it's an illegal pitch and to send everybody back. And
yes.
I was like, I can't do this. I was like, I gave the mic to somebody else. I can't do this. It was 17-0.
You're a part of our team.
Yeah,
you should
I understand.
Have made the announcement clear and concise, like yeah. You gave us the ground rules after you got them.
Yeah, well... Luckily, I mean, it would have been, 18-11 if we let that go. So maybe it would have been a little bit tight in that seventh
inning. No, was a three-run home run.
Right, I know. So it would have been 18-11 instead of 18-8.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here. And the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.